You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Eventually, in these past 24 years, I now know that for me, home is not necessarily a place, but rather it's a safe space that allows me room to strive and sometimes fail, offering that grace-filled opportunity to rise and strive again. My safe space was created while I was a child and is foundational to who I am and who I may become. My standard for living and serving and loving was set at home. And that standard in the home does not change whether the child is living there or not. The child will grow up and move out. Yes, they will move out. And they will begin their life as an adult. However, they will always know that when, not if, but when they return, the standard is the same and home is home. I preface going home with when and not if, because when that child matures emotionally and spiritually, hopefully they will have gained a greater appreciation for this concept of home, and may even desire to return home, if only for a short while, if only for an in-and-out visit. There will be that desire to return to that place that formed us and nurtured us. I'm talking about going home. Our word for today is you can go home again. The standard is the same. The rules have not changed, but the door is always open and the invitation is always extended. You can go home again. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he's traveling towards his glorious date with the cross, and there's a large crowd that's following him. I think it may be safe for us to assume that most of the people did not know Jesus personally. You know what I'm talking about. They've heard about the carpenter's son who has performed all of these miracles, and they just want to tag along and see for themselves if all that they have heard is true. In other words, they were Jesus groupies. And unlike the groupies, I mean disciples of today, these Jesus groupies did not have a clue about where they were headed. They had no idea about what it meant to be a disciple. All they knew was that Jesus was that bro, and they wanted to hang out with that bro. Jesus had to get their attention. So he brought up hating those people many of us are taught to hold dearest. Mothers and fathers, spouses and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even our own life. Now, some theologians believe that Jesus was deconstructing or tearing down the family unit. However, I, for one, believe that Jesus was, in fact, reprioritizing our relationships. When Jesus speaks of hating, he's not talking about, and this is a Western definition here, y'all. He's not talking about loathing or detesting or even intensely disliking our life or our family. Rather, the Hebrew and the Greek translation of hate means to love less. To love less. Let that marry in home. Jesus is teaching us that we cannot be his disciples if our love of God is not at the forefront of our life. Now, I know that no one here does this. I know this. We're talking about people y'all know. But there are some who will say that they love Jesus and say that Jesus is the head of their life until something goes wrong in their life, until troubles arise in committed relationships, until our children begin self-medicating on prescription drugs or alcohol, or until our siblings may be arrested. And what do? We close ranks. We place all of our resources, all of our efforts, all of our prayers in our family and ignore our family. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about our family. You, those cousins who are starving. Those cousins who are homeless and wearing tattered clothing, who are infected with disease and means that our commitment to Jesus will cause us to do what we do, how we do it, and when we do it willingly, regardless of consequences. Carrying the cross means sacrifice with intentionality. Y'all want me to repeat that? I'll say it again. I like the way that sounded. It means sacrifice with intentionality. It means exposing ourselves to risk and ridicule so that we might be able to follow the one whose name we bear. Carrying the cross means commitment to a new way of life and commitment to the teachings of Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus not do? Jesus did not stay in the comfort of his home, watching the evening news and crying blues about how the system abuses people. Jesus did not stay in the church house, saying, "I'm going to love them when they get here, after I clean them up, and then explain the rules to them," getting cramps in my fingers. Jesus went out amongst the hungry and he fed them. He went out amongst the diseased and he healed them. He went out amongst tax collectors and harlots and Gentiles. He carried his love out to the people and he met them right where they were and just how they were. We have become a people so wrapped up in making it that we have actually forgot, I think, how to make it. What was once a we thing has now become a me thing. I can remember stories about my grandmother taking in a family whose house had burned to the ground. I can remember stories about my grandmother cooking a little extra from the little bit that she had just in case somebody came by who might be hungry. And then I think about how we are today. We have set up savings accounts, IRAs, 401ks, T-bills, and money market accounts, making sure that we're comfortable today and prepared for tomorrow. We build or buy the best houses in the best neighborhoods near the best schools. We drive the best cars, wearing the best clothes from the most expensive stores, and we dine in the best restaurant, smelling our absolute best. And we have worked hard for what we have, and we deserve the best. But let someone approach us on the street, or believe it or not, even in the church house, seeking some kind of assistance. Let someone ask for some food to feed their family, or some money to pay their rent, or even a hand-me-down to clothe their children. You know, we know what Jesus would do, but what about us? We may not be able to heal disease, but our smile just might heal a broken heart. We might not be able to raise the dead, but that hug or pat on the back just might raise a dead spirit. We may not be able to cast out demons, but our willing, giving, and our loving heart might just point that person to an individual named Jesus who can. What about us? We talk the talk, but are we ready truly to walk the walk? Jesus is not looking for us to blindly follow him. He doesn't want us to be like the builder or the king in our story, leaping before we look. Make no mistake, Jesus has prepared a place for his disciples, but he wants us to recognize what we're letting ourselves in for. This is no walk in the park discipleship. Discipleship means going where Jesus went, teaching what Jesus taught, and most importantly, loving like Jesus loved. Now, when I say loving like Jesus loved, I can't find anywhere where Jesus asked for documentation of a person's status as far as whether they were a citizen or not. I can't find anywhere documented where Jesus said, "You're married or not married, therefore I'm going to bless you or not bless you." I can't find documentation of Jesus saying, "Oh, wait a minute, you're not Jewish, you're a Samaritan, I can't do anything for you." No. People in need came, Jesus fed that need. People hurting came, Jesus healed that hurt. What about us? What about us? I'm going there, please see me after church so that I can touch the hem of your garment if you need it. Who among us is going to always, always, always place God first? Who among us is always going to carry the cross and follow Jesus? If anyone's struggling with this, let me help you out. None of us. None of us. There is not one person sitting here or listening out there who will always be able to do this. Face it, we are all human. We are fallible, error-prone, misstep-riddled sinners who have fallen short of God's glory. The church, even this wonderful faith community, is filled with people who are works in progress, saints under construction, wounded healers. So how can we follow Jesus? How can we go home? Today's lesson is more than a set of rules for disciples. Today we hear Jesus telling us that we won't always follow the rules, and there's going to be a time when we're going to struggle and even fall down sometimes. But that's where discipleship is all about, recognizing the saving grace of Jesus. Discipleship is recognizing we don't have to be perfect. We have to be going on to perfection. Discipleship is recognizing we don't have all the answers, but we have a relationship with someone who does. Disciples know we're going to stumble and fall, but we also know that if we place our trust in Jesus, he's going to pick us back up again. Disciples know that even when all seems lost, Jesus still is able to find us. Disciples know we can go home again. Do you know that? Do you know you can go home again? I'm trying not to preach. I don't know about anybody else, but I know I can go home again. You see, I was one of those who was once lost in a weary land. I was out there being tossed to and fro by the storms that were raging in my life. I was one of those lost that everyone had turned their backs on and was talking about like I had a tail. I was on the outside looking in, wondering why my world was crumbling all around me. But I remembered something my grandmother told me. My grandmother said, David, you can always call on Jesus and tell him about your troubles. One day I cried out, Jesus, come and see about me. I can't make it on my own. My intelligence is not saving me. My looks are not saving me. My name is not saving me. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, and see about me. And Jesus was there. I felt a peace that surpassed all understanding. I knew joy that I had never experienced before. The storms still came, and the storms still come, and the storms will come, but the winds, and no matter what goes on with the winds, are always under the control of the Master. Jesus is there. Always. Yes, I can go home again. Jesus is calling you today. Jesus is letting you know that you can go home again. You may think that you have been forgotten, but you can go home again. You may think that you have burned all of your bridges, but you can go home again. The door may have been closed and windows shut, but you can go home again. Are you ready? Are you really ready? My hope is yes. And to all I offer shalom.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.